You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Welcome into the program. I'm Charlie Arnold. Back in studio here after my little jaunt to Indianapolis to see the fam, to go to the basketball game. I was not in Miami for UFC 299. I had a lot of people asking me where I was. Unfortunately, I didn't get to make it down there, although I wish that I could have because it definitely was the place to be. Something else that has changed since I was last in studio, we're on daylight savings time now, so you wake up. It's a little bit darker than it was, but the good news, it's later or lighter than it was. So that's one shift we've experienced. But another shift that we have noticed as of late is one that has occurred in Joe Burrow. And I must say, we love a good energy shift because in 2020, Joe Burrow was retweeting Barack Obama about the pandemic. Now, he is seen dapping up Donald Trump at UFC 299 in Miami over the weekend. And he and Nick Bosa, who we already knew was obsessed with DJT, they were hanging out with the former Prez cage side. And really, this is a repeat from UFC 287, where Burrow was also seen saying hello to 45. Look at these guys having a grand old time, light shining, sunglasses on, whispering in the ear, jokes being told. We love to see it, everybody. And now Donald Trump has long been a fan of Joe Burrow. He actually referred to the Heisman winner, Joe Cool, as a young Tom Brady. This was in early 2020 when Burrow and the LSU Tigers earned a visit to the White House after LSU won the national championship. He also told Burrow at that same time, quote, "You make our country very, very proud." Watch.
We got a little jersey for you.
I thought he was going to give me the Heisman Trophy. He's just giving me a jersey.
That is pretty sweet. What if he would have given DJT the Heisman? That would have been interesting. Now, while most people may write off seeing Joe Burrow and Nick Bosa hanging with Trump at UFC 299 as no big deal, truth is, if you ask me, it is a big deal because we rarely see athletes interacting with conservative politicians because they know, they understand the damage it can do to their brand or opportunities while working or playing for very woke sporting organizations like, for example, the NFL or the NBA. Now, I understand the hesitancy because while in the prime of your career, the goal to make as much money as you possibly can. But the amount of love these NFL athletes were showered with after simply shaking Donald Trump's hand at the UFC event is a good sign. Maybe it's an indicator of athletes feeling more comfortable to support the politicians of their choice, publicly especially. Or maybe the single move at the Kaseya Arena will inspire more athletes to embrace their conservative side. I know a hell of a lot of athletes are conservative, a lot more than we're aware of. One, because I've actually had conversations with several of them in the past few months, and they have directly told me that. And also B, because a lot of them make a lot of money. And I am positive they do not want to see those dollars that they have worked hard for to be squandered away by Democrats and their senseless policies. Now, there's another woman who I know knows a lot about all of this. I'm sure she's had plenty of personal, intimate, one-on-one conversations with athletes who have told her the same thing. This woman was also at UFC 299 over the weekend in Miami. It's my former coworker, Sage Steele. And yesterday, I had the chance to catch up one-on-one with her. Watch. And I am so excited to be joined by none other than the lovely Sage Steele. Sage, I remember running into you. We ran into each other in New York City. Yes. What, at this point, it was probably like 6 weeks ago or so. And I was so happy to see you. So again, so happy to see you.
Thank you. It's awesome to see you. I know we didn't have the drink we needed to that day. So let's work on that.
Oh, no, no. That's definitely still happening. And it'll be a plural, probably drinks.
Yes, exactly.
Which, you know, obviously,
always necessary given the current landscape of the world we live in today. All for of the sure. insanity, some of which you don't have to experience on the level that I do, because me living in New York, I'm living at the heightened experience of insane. You're in Florida right now, which I'm sure you have a little bit more of a laid back version of what I'm going through.
That's a great point. I bought a place down here during the pandemic almost 4 years ago. And it was, you know, going through some tough things in my personal life. And then the professional life started to blow up as well. And I was like, you know what, this will be my little escape and just own it for a couple of years. And now I'm like, I will never leave. And I'm actually coming down full time this fall once my youngest child goes away to college. And I'm blown away, Charlie, at how it literally changed my life to be around people who are just open-minded. There are very many, very, very diverse opinions at the buildings that I live in here. I mean, it's all ages. I'm probably on the younger end. And they're from New York, they're from Philly, they're from the Midwest, from Canada. And the opinions very much vary, but there's a respect here that diversity of thought, which that's my hashtag, right?
Yeah, and so absolutely. It's, you know, really important. Yeah. And I wonder too, because I know, like you said, you bought the place during the pandemic. I wonder how many of your neighbors were there prior to the pandemic and how many of them escaped all of the madness and was like, you know, Florida's doing something right. I wonder how many of your neighbors are kind of in the same boat as you are and all flocked into the
same. A lot of them were here before, but you see a lot more new people coming in. And some of the people a little older and have sold, and then newer people coming in and they're like, oh, I'm out. And now it's a matter of timing for them to make it a full-time thing, you know? So it's financially, I've lived in Connecticut basically for the last 17 years. Financially, it's just a lot smarter than living where you and I live full time, right? And New York and Connecticut, it's insane. And so at this point, I feel like I got my parents, by the way, to move to Florida from Pennsylvania last summer. Slowly but surely, I have a brother that's out in West Hollywood, California. I'm like, listen, dummy, like, come on, come back east. And if nothing else, honestly, it's for just the freedom to be able to live how you want. And that includes as a parent. I have a lot of friends here with younger children, and it's really a game changer.
And also happening in Florida this past weekend, I mean, you were just down the street from the Kaseya Arena where UFC 299 took place. I mean, I am jealous that I couldn't be there because, you know, I work for UFC, so I'm surrounded by that environment all the time. But UFC in Miami?
Oh,
that is a different story. I mean, that is that I know that arena has been sold out for, you know, probably at this point months now. And I saw the star-studded affair that it was. What was it like being there?
Okay. First of all, it's embarrassing that it took me all these years to go to my first UFC event.
Oh my gosh. I forgot it was your first one.
Yes, it's embarrassing. But here's the reason why, and you understand this, when your workplace is in Bristol, Connecticut, it's very difficult to leave, you know, Bradley Airport, great, it's a cute little airport, but like, you're not going anywhere direct. And weekends, you know, I had the younger kids. And so it's like, I couldn't do it. Now, I no longer work there, as we know, and my kids don't want to be around me. So I'm like, okay, I'm just going to go south for this. And listen, I spoke to Dana White a couple of times over the past few months. And he was like, what the hell? What do you mean you haven't been? You're coming, pick which one. And I was like, okay, thank you. By the way, he loves you. We talked about you. Obviously. But I was blown away, Charlie. It was really special. And I say that not in like a weird, cheesy, not because I had the best seats ever, because the people were so accepting. Again, people are just absolutely, it's a different mindset. It's a different mindset. And they're, listen, when the president walks in, which I did not know for sure if he was going to be coming in, the place blows up. I mean, I know how it was at the Garden too, when he came to Madison Square Garden. Dana was telling me about that, and you could see it on TV as well. But it's just so cool to see President Trump being celebrated like that. And maybe most importantly, like receiving it beautifully. And I was, you know, the whole entire fight, I could have just leaned forward and touched his shoulder. So I got to watch the hundreds of people, a lot of big name celebrities that we know and others, come up and ask for pictures. Secret Service is constantly, he's so into it, as you know, like he is a fan of the sport.
Oh,
so
I mean, one of the reasons UFC is as successful as it is because of Donald Trump. I mean, if it wasn't for Donald Trump, really, you know, helping Dana in those early stages and, you know, helping them to get into New Jersey and all that. I mean, who knows where UFC would be. So
people don't appreciate that, right?
No, of course not.
That part of him. And oh, by the way, what has happened with that? The billions of dollars that people have made. ESPN is obviously a huge partner now for UFC. Everybody's benefiting. And in general, like, there's such a diversity within the sport, right? That you know better than I do. And just to see the fighters from different countries that are there, it's really, really, really cool. And I'm so grateful to Dana for allowing me to experience it.
Okay. So not only did you experience it, Sage, I mean, you experienced it VIP style. I saw all the photos floating all around on the internet. And you, I mean, you were sitting right there. You were with Donald Trump. You were there with his family, you know, all of the other like loud voices in the conservative world who Dana has grown very close with. I mean, it was insane. I mean, just what was it like? I mean, not only experiencing UFC, but also being seated in that section. I mean, it had to have just been like one of those almost pinch me moments for you.
It kind of was. And here's the thing. For all these years, you're a journalist, you're a reporter, and you're never allowed really to be a fan, even to just go to these games and experience games, fights, matches, whatever it is. You're always in work mode. So just sit there, have a couple drinks, talk to people. Patrick Bet David was to my right. Of course, I've met Portnoy several times and Taylor Lewan and his crew. Candace Owens, I'd never met Candace Owens. She was just a couple seats down from me. And it just was a nonstop, like you said, parade of celebrities, which I don't really care about usually. I actually kind of go the opposite direction with that because I call it that, you know, I'm like, oh, a bunch of jock sniffers. Like I can't handle that sometimes. It makes me uncomfortable. I'm like, I'd rather watch from home and not feel like, oh, everybody's trying to kiss each other's ass. Like it's just, this was special. This was different. And I was blown away. I didn't know that that's where Dana was going to put my seat. I had no idea. I said to leaders, oh my gosh, but I'm just super grateful. And there, you know, there was a moment when I was sitting there and just trying to soak it up because so much has happened over the last couple of years. I never thought I'd be allowed to do something like that. And it was funny. I did see some ESPN friends, some of the awesome security guys. And I'm like, oh my gosh, really cool. Can I say the coolest thing though, for me, honestly, Charlie, was sitting there and watching, maybe it's that reporter in me, watching Donald Trump and Dana communicate during the fight. But how about this? You've seen it in between rounds, the fighters come over. Everyone was acutely aware of obviously where Trump was sitting and they'd come over. And right before the training staff started to clean him up in between, they'd look at the president, they'd look at Dana who was it? Dustin Poirier. He looked at Dana and Trump and he was like, that guy's quick. And there's some other language in there, you know?
Yeah.
So you're communicating with Dana and Trump during the fight. And to me, it was just fascinating to see that interaction and hear what they were saying.
Yeah. You know, that's one of the coolest things about the UFC is I feel like the relationship between fighters and, I mean, who they would consider, you know, front office staff, you know, like if we were to compare it to other sports, you know, Dana White and Hunter Campbell, who also works very closely with Dana White. I mean, their relationships and communication with the fighters before the fights, during the fights, after the fights is so strong. And it just, it almost is unparalleled. I mean, you don't see that type of communication or relationship in other sports, and also just the freedom. I think the fighters just really have a strong appreciation for what they're involved with because they can just be themselves. They don't have to worry about, wait, should I make this comment or not make this comment? How will it affect my relationship with my employer? How will it? None of that exists. So they're able to just focus on their game and what's going to make them the best. And I think that's so important.
I do too. It's very, very refreshing. And of course there's controversy with that. And some of the fighters just get out there and say whatever they want. And I crack up because
me too.
Hey, it's okay if you say it on the other side. So if he's on this side, he should be able to say it too. I mean, that's our whole thing that we preach, right? It was interesting to see, you know, some of the Anheuser-Busch executives right there front and center with all of them. And I, you know, the whole controversy with Dana partnering up again with them and Bud Light, I get it. But I said to Dana when we met a couple of weeks ago, we met somewhere else in Los Angeles. And it was like, I love that he did that because it's like, number one, everybody deserves a second chance, in my opinion. I really do believe that. And secondly, what a brilliant business move When a company is down, down and out, losing billions of dollars, guess what? From a strictly business perspective, they're going to pay up to try to fix their image. And UFC is benefiting greatly from that. So I just think it's brilliant. And he just, and again, he does not care. He's like, this is what I'm going to do. I've proven I'm a good, pretty good businessman. And look, so it was great to see those guys there too, enjoying it, sitting there whispering it to Dana and Trump.
Sage, what did you think about the main event? Sean O'Malley defending his bantamweight belt against Chito Vera. I mean, it was a hell of a fight. And Sean O'Malley is just so ridiculously good. I think he ultimately is going to go down as probably one of the greatest fighters to have been in UFC.
Yeah.
He's down the road. He's not nowhere near retirement, but
you know. Right. Well, and again, I'm kind of starting over with this and now taking a deeper dive into it so I can begin to have like in-depth conversations with you about these guys. It was so fascinating. And talking to Dana before we walked out of the tunnel, you know, I was like, okay, how do you feel before this stuff? And he's like, we need good fights. We just need good fights. I'm like, do you get flies? Do you get all? And I think, yes, absolutely. Not nervousness, but like excitement. Let's go, adrenaline. And that is exactly what we got for the main event. I was watching Sir Sean's eyes the whole time. And Chito as well. I mean, it was so fascinating to really watch the intensity. Sean's just so quick, you know? And I mean, obviously you have to be successful, especially at the bantamweight. But it was awesome to watch him almost like a peaceful calm was over him, like a confidence. He knew exactly what he needed to do and when. I was pretty blown away at Chito though. I thought that he took some shots, and to be so close up and to be able to hear, every hit and kick and slap, I was like,
There was at one point, Sean O'Malley said he felt something break in Cheeto's face. He was like, I don't know if it was nose, I don't know if it was his cheek, but he had to be rushed to the hospital right after the fight. Yes, you can hear it. I mean, it's brutal. It's crazy because the more you are around it, I mean, with anything, you get desensitized, right? I mean, yeah. I'm still not at the point. I don't know that I ever will be. Like once the blood starts gushing or you hear those noises or limbs move in directions that they're not intended to move in, I'm like, okay. I need a little bit of a breather. I got to look down for a second, recompose. Now I can
That's
watch
what it. I do. I was trying to record all of it because I was like, okay, if there's a knockout, I need to have it. Cause I'm like right there. And to see Dana and Donald Trump's reaction, I was trying to get it, you know, the photographer in me. And then I'd keep it rolling and look away, you know, and watching on TV is incredible. But this was different because of those sounds and also just watching their corners and watching how they would react, you know, but sitting next to a lot of people, and Patrick Bet David watches a lot of this, and he, I mean, strategically, we're talking so much about that, and you could see when the exhaustion started to come over, you know, especially in some of the earlier fights. But I was blown away at kind of the bravery and courage of these guys. Some would call it stupidity too, when you voluntarily go get your face bashed in and, you know, whatever. But the hunger that they have, the training that it takes to get to that point. Again, we all knew, but when you see it, like it all comes down to that one moment and how quickly it can turn. Like, you know, one, you know, you get contact, you take contact in the wrong place at the wrong moment if you're leaning in a tiny bit too much, and it's over. And there's, along with, you know, your face, your body, like there's millions of dollars potentially on the line. So it was really, really cool. And I, you know, interviewed Poirier before on SportsCenter. So it was really cool to be able to see him in person. And at 35 years old, you know, like what he's, and he was, when he was done, he's talking to Dana and Trump right there, hands, you know, right there on the thing, on bait. And he's like, done 30 times in this octagon, 30 times, Dana. And it was like, bring it, let's go. So I was like, this is amazing.
You're right. The there's something inside these fighters. It's not like the rest of us. They have something, they have a notch inside of them that they can turn it on and off that we don't have, which is probably a good thing, right? Because, you know, I don't think you and I would fare so well inside of an octagon.
I've never been in a fight, even like a girl fight, never in my life. Not like and a hair pulling, like never.
You have a lot of women who try to like kind of get catty with you though. I mean, as we've seen.
You know what? At the end of the day, I'm taller and stronger than all of them. I'm pretty sure I think I could take them.
Yeah, taller, stronger. You have better hair than most. You have great hair, by the way.
Yeah,
You already knew
thank you.
that.
By the way, there were some sightings of some, you know, former coworkers there. Not up close and personal, which is fine. So, and I
you
honestly,
know what? I had some sightings. When I was at Super Bowl, I saw some former coworkers who I know they saw me and they didn't say anything, nothing, just a quick glance, decided they weren't interested. And I'm like, it's fine. It's fine. When you followed me on Instagram, I already took the first hint that our friendship was no longer continuing.
I know, but I honestly feel like it's a blessing. You know, because I think as we get older and wiser, our circle gets smaller. Mine certainly has. And I think that that's just a positive where you can pour energy into the good people in your life who are there for you all the time, not just in the good times when it's easy to be friends with somebody, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think it's funny because at the beginning of the interview, you were like, well, you know, I have all this time. My kids don't want to hang out with me. And I'm thinking, right as you said that, I'm like, oh, I bet they're wishing they would have hung out with mom this past weekend. You know, they're like,
well,
damn
I
it.
Will say this. I was getting my youngest, I was getting text messages during because my daughter's boyfriend watches all of the UFC stuff and a lot of her friends, and they all had gotten the, and all of a sudden he's even texting me. And my daughter's like, wait, what? You know, her boyfriend, he just sent me a picture of you right next to Portnoy. Oh my God. Oh my God. And then she FaceTimes me, like FaceTimes me when everybody's walking in. And she goes, mom, please, Portnoy's there. Where's Miss Peaches? I'm like,
Miss Peaches
is not at the fight, Evan. And stop FaceTiming me right now. Oh, now you
want to talk.
Now you like me.
Cool.
When all of her friends, she wasn't watching. She hasn't watched me a day in her life on TV of any kind, I don't think. And when the friends were like, oh my gosh, your mom. She did say this. She's like, why did you want to have to post the picture of you with Donald Trump? And so that's a constant conversation with me and my kids because people go after my kids sometimes too. And so it's funny. I'm like, okay, so you like me next to Portnoy, you like me being there, but just don't share pictures. But again, it's an important conversation to have with them as they sometimes struggle with that. And I said, you know, I hope they don't take as long as I did to be fine with being disliked. That's something that I said to them, you know. I said, I think yesterday someone showed me I lost like 1,000 followers on Instagram after I posted my pictures from there, but gained a couple thousand more. Like, it's okay. And I try to share that with her. And I said, again, you never have to defend me. Don't ever have to even agree with your mom. But just know that I'm okay with that. And I'm not going to not share a cool experience. Because I'm afraid of some people.
Because you know, some people will be offended or like triggered for.
It's okay. Yeah. I mean, there are people, even friends, like really sage. And I'm like, it's okay. You can unfollow them because again, diversity.
But also my thing is because I deal with the same issue, right? You know, people are so divisive in their beliefs that, you know, if you post something, it's like, wait, we have a friendship, right? Like we have a relationship that extends past my political views, past, you know, my personal beliefs and that extend past your political views and your personal beliefs. And honestly, I follow a lot of people on social media that I don't share the same views with. And what happens when I see them post something that I don't agree with? Nothing. I scroll right past it and I say, you're my friend. I don't care what you have to say. I'm not going to
comment
or comment. But I can look past it. I also think people should have the ability to change their minds too, right? Like, I think, like, for example, what I thought was a cool moment at UFC is when they showed Joey Bosa and Joe Burrow there in support of, you know, they were there to obviously check out UFC, but then they were having a little bit of time chatting with Trump. Trump went as far to say, like, he thought Joe Burrow could be the next Tom Brady, which, you know, talk about a compliment. But I thought it was interesting because Joe Burrow in the past has been known to make comments in support of the Democratic Party. Like he, you know, tweeted out in support of Obama back in the day and things of that nature, which great. Everyone should be able to, you know, if one day, you know, or if one election you support the Democrats and then maybe you have an experience the next you want to support the Republican Party or vice versa, again, having the ability to speak freely and support freely and even change your mind if that's what you feel like is best for you at that point in your life, I think it's totally fair, but I like.
Look at Clay Travis. I mean, Clay Travis talked all about lifelong Democrat and then the last election. And I absolutely think you're right. And that has to happen. I will say Bosa and Burrow. I mean, again, Trump was right there in front of me. So Nick Bosa's hat was like this far from
my. Sorry, I said Joey Bosa earlier. I meant Nick Bosa.
Yeah. So they're like right there. And because the chairs are here and they were trying to get by, you know, side by side President Trump, I was like literally backing up and trying. So when I looked at the picture, I'm like, I think that's my hair. I was trying to stay out of the way, but it was so cool. And by the way, when Bosa went back to, I mean, he was freaking out. Even talking to Trump, he was just in his ear. Da, 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 da. He was so happy. It was really interesting to see. And I thought about that. You know, those guys said, okay, before we go down, we know what's going to happen. This is going to go viral. We're going to get criticized. Are we prepared for that? I hate that they even have to think about it. I remember, you know, a couple years ago, Maria Taylor, when she worked at ESPN, she posted a picture of her and Obama, and it was her avatar for years. It might still be. And that was just, you know, it's fine. It's the sitting president of the United States. Like, of course, go for it. I probably would have done the exact same thing. But then then there were bosses with other people who had posted pictures with people on the other side, Republican politicians, and they were told to take those down quickly. Wow. So anyway, it doesn't matter. It's just something that everybody has to think about with this president in particular. So I commend those young men, you know, for saying, screw it. I want to go shake his hand. And for Bosa to sit there and go back and forth for several minutes. Again, I got an ab workout trying to like lean out of the way so I wasn't interfering, because it's kind of tight quarters there. But it was really funny. So many guys. And Portnoy has been critical of Trump, and he was sitting right there in the picture. Listen, I was the photographer for the one with Taylor Lewan.
At the end of the day, it doesn't matter who you support. Being by a former president or a current president is cool. Okay? Like, it's just cool. And if you have the opportunity to take a picture with one or chat with one, it's an interesting and cool moment that you've had, and most people will not get the opportunity to have. So like,
I interviewed Joe Biden like 2 months after his inauguration, for SportsCenter,
which is interesting.
It was fascinating. I was very nervous. It's a sitting president, and it was taped, which is probably best for him at that point as well. But like, it was so cool to get to do it, to think so long and hard about the questions, which were very much scripted from the bosses. They're like, do not breathe. Do not say any other word besides.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, this isn't even the name of it. It's fine. But I didn't care that I disagreed with him and didn't vote for him. He's Joe Biden. And what an honor to be Absolutely. Able to do it with anybody. So I will fight back on that one till the day I die.
Okay. Well, I have so many other things, Sage, that I want to get into you with. But I know that we're going to do another like little, you know, woman to woman chat soon, because you have some exciting news on the horizon. So once all of that happens, we'll get into more and more. But for now, I just, you know, what's the plan? What's the big plan for the day in Florida? I know you're there all the time, but I want to live vicariously through you right now.
Come down, friend. Come hang out. So, every day when I'm here, I go for a walk, 4 or 5 miles, sometimes on the beach, sometimes a combination beach and A1A, because I'm right on A1A in Fort Lauderdale. But also one thing I always force myself to do is get in the ocean, like get all the way in. And I know that sounds obnoxious, but
sometimes it doesn't sound obnoxious.
Well, sometimes it's a little cold and I'm a wimp, and I know
that's relative, the best thing for you.
It is. I'm not quite a Dana White like cold plunge addicts, but I'd love to get there at some point. But for me, and again, this might sound a little bit cheesy, this place has such meaning to me because of the timing when I bought it. It's something that we can talk about further next time, but with work stuff, with having just gone through a divorce when I did all this, like this is where I learned to really be alone and to be okay with that. And to go in the water, toes in the sand, salt water, like get all the way in. It is so cleansing. It is so grounding. And every time I get in there and I just like say some prayers of gratitude for being able to do this and still, you know, being alive every day. So that's, you know, when we plan this, I'm like, oh, I don't know if I can get in the water before and have dry hair beforehand. So I'm going to, the ocean right there is going to wash this makeup off in a minute, but I really just try to have quiet time and enjoy. I get a lot. I'm writing a book. And so I'm starting to get a lot of work done on that here. I find that it's the best place because the healing powers of the ocean. And then I don't have that many friends down here, and that's fine. So I can work hard on stuff like that here. It's just very, sometimes I come down only for 48 hours, you know, And it's only a matter of if my youngest daughter, the one that's left home now, the other two are in college, is with her dad that weekend. Then that's my cue to say, okay, I'm not staying in the frozen tundra by myself. Uh-uh. I'll be by myself down here. So anyway, I'll send you a picture because it's really, it's
please
such
send
a
me all thing. The pictures. I want to see everything. You're like, here's me on the beach. Here's me in the water. Here's me doing this. Aren't you jealous? I'm like, yes, I am. When am I coming to visit?
I know. Literally 6 more months, girlfriend. And it's full time. I'm like, okay, I'm selling everything in my house. You want to take the couches, the chairs, the towels, the dishes,
yeah.
Take it all.
I want nothing. Yeah, I know. It's like the best way, just letting it all go. And then like, it's like a refresh, a reset. And what better place to do it than in a sun?
I already have a house. Like it's already set. It's, I have bedrooms for the kids. Like it's a oh huge loss. So next time you're down this way, no excuses when UFC ever comes back to Miami.
I'm going to be like, oh, Sage, weirdly enough, I'm on the way there now.
And you said you had an extra bedroom, right? Yeah.
Well, I don't want to keep you any longer. Go. You need to get in the ocean. Like you said, I'm such an ocean person. I love to do the full submersion. I don't dip my toe in the water. I just run full speed. And I do the plunge and it's the best feeling in the world. So I'm totally with you on that. So,
sometimes I wait till right before I'll do it. And then it's like 20 minutes before I have to leave for the airport and I'll just put a hat on, tie my wet hair back, sand in my, like throughout my everywhere. Body. And it's like, you know what? I'm getting on this plane with sand everywhere. It's great. I don't even care. Yeah.
That sounds incredible. Well, Sage, thank you so much. It was so good to see you. I'm so happy that you finally got to experience your first UFC event, but many more to come. And of course, I can't wait to talk to you again.
Thank you. And I would love to go with you because you're the pro at this. So let's talk to Dana. Let's make this happen.
Let's make it happen. I'm sure he would love that. So that sounds great to me.
Thank you.
Outkick the Morning will be right back after a short break. Stay tuned.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
See you soon.
So if you didn't catch during that interview, I made it clear that Sage and I will at some point in the future, near future, hopefully more near than I imagine, we'll be having another one-on-one to talk really just about her journey getting to where she has gotten to today. And she's apparently going to have some very exciting news coming up soon. So that is on the books tentatively for an unknown date, but be on the lookout for that. I always love talking to Sage, so thank you once again to her for sitting down with me yesterday. Now, as for everybody else, hopefully you didn't rely on Deadspin for your sports and culture news, because if you did, you're probably watching this show by an extreme error. Deadspin has been sold now to a European startup. And every single one of its reporters, listen to this, every single reporter and staff member given 30 minutes to pack up their stuff and log off their computers for good. Now, Deadspin was almost already dead in the water as it was, already having filed for bankruptcy in the past. But then, as you can recall, a couple of months ago, they published what was likely the straw that broke the camel's back, a story that targeted a 9-year-old Chiefs fan for blackface. And the media totally piled on the poor kid. For example, take a listen at what Dan Lebertard had to say about all of it once this article was published.
The kid is still in full racist garb. The only part of him that's not intentionally kind of racist is the black part. The rest is team colors, and he's going for just being a fan. But the racism is already in there, just not the kind that the right is picking up and flogging Deadspin with over a 5-year-old kid. Like, the stupidity of this is remarkable.
Well, we'll react to his comments in just a second, but all of this comes a little over 2 months after it was announced that the 9-year-old's family was suing Deadspin after the article was written by, remember the reporter, Karen J. Phillips. The family was exposed to all types of hate, including death threats. Now, making matters worse, not only did Phillips not retract the story immediately after it was clearly shown that the kid wasn't wearing blackface. He had one side of his face painted black, one side painted white. The camera angle only captured the black side of his face. Once it was shown that he was dressed up in team colors, Chiefs fans, red and black, Phillips, instead of retracting, he doubled down, saying the NFL needed to do a better job at targeting racism. Now, getting to the larger point of this whole story, Deadspin deserves to go bankrupt. They deserve to be sold off because no one can take Deadspin seriously. It's articles like these that clearly just show this publication is out to just push liberalism and also race bait in all of the most egregious senses possible. This poor kid, 9 years old, I'm pretty sure a 9 year old can't be racist in any event in the first place. But even so, it was clear this kid was at a game dressed up like a Chiefs fan. And when it was discovered very quickly after the article was published that there was a red side to his face, he was wearing the headdress also then, which was proclaimed as being racist to Native Americans by another different group. It just got completely out of control. This poor kid, like we mentioned before, exposed to all different types of hate, death threats to the family. The family finally wisened up. I said it from the very first thing. I said, this family needs to retain the strongest lawyer possible and sue the hell out of Deadspin. It took them a while to come to that conclusion, but ultimately they did. And I'm sure it scared Deadspin off. They probably realized they had no legs to stand on as it was, especially now when all different types of people were coming after them. So all I have to say is so long to Deadspin. You will not be missed. And hopefully this European startup, whoever you are, whoever you bring on board as your reporters, have a completely different vision for Deadspin. In fact, I'm not even sure that I would buy Deadspin in the first place, because if they're even aware of what Deadspin represents in the United States, what type of journalism it represents, I'm not sure they would even want to resurrect such a business, but I suppose they have their reasons, and hopefully whatever reasons they are the complete opposite of what we have seen from Deadspin in the past. All right, everyone, that is going to do it for this edition of the show. Thank you so much for being here. New show dropping tomorrow. Make sure in the meantime you're following me on social media at Charlie on TV. And just a quick little tidbit. Do you know yesterday marked 4 years to the day that COVID-19 was announced as a global pandemic? Pretty crazy, right? Pretty wild. 4 years. And what a shit show it has been ever since. Okay, everyone, that's it. That's all we've got. See you tomorrow, and have a good one.